It is time now for the fourth segment of our new feature to 97.9 The Hill with Durham Tech. Each month we profile a Do Great Things initiative from Durham Tech with in-studio guest interviews and interactive articles on our website, chapelboro.com. Feature showcases some of the inspiring initiatives and programs at Durham Tech that make our community proud. And you can check out the article for this interview on our website, chapelboro.com. That'll post next week. We're excited today because we're going to be talking about Durham Tech's relationship with NASA that has led to some really, really cool projects and some pretty significant ones as well. We're joined now by three people. Julie Hoover is a geology and GIS instructor at Durham Tech. She's also organizing NASA's Swarmathon and the Unacceptable Risks High Altitude Student Payload, which I'm very excited to hear about. And two of her former students, Dan Corris, now studying at the University of Colorado at Boulder, and Jimmy Acevedo, graduated from NC Central, now working at NASA at the Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland, both joining us by phone. So Julie, Dan, Jimmy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
So Julie, let me start with you. Give us a brief overview of the relationship between Durham Tech and NASA. How did it start and what do you do?
So it started with an initiative that came from North Carolina Space Grant. They came to us with an opportunity to launch a high-altitude balloon payload as part of a statewide competition that they run every year. And once we started with that opportunity and just realized how incredible it was, how good it was for the students, how much fun it was, we started to seek out other things that were available at the community college level. One of those was the NASA Swarmathon that Jimmy encouraged me to apply for. We didn't think we would get it, and we did. That's a robotics competition where they're using little rovers that swarm together and hopefully work on algorithms that will help them collect resources on Mars eventually. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
And then once we started rolling with that, other opportunities came available to us, student internships, things like that. And through one of those student internships, we got introduced to NASA's Columbia Scientific Ballooning Facility, which is, most people don't understand that NASA's doing giant space balloon science all the time, but they are. And Jimmy got an internship with them, and we got to travel out, and that's how we heard about the high-altitude student payload, which is an opportunity for students to engineer and fly an actual NASA mission out of Fort Sumner, New Mexico.
That's awesome. So what did that mission entail?
So for that, we had to apply. International schools apply. It's a really rigorous application process. Our application both years has been about 60 pages long. They only have 12...
That's probably short for NASA, though, right?
Yeah, a lot of paperwork at NASA. The only 12 slots are open, and we were one of the only community college teams to ever be considered. And we did it our second year, and our application, we're really proud, is the one that they are using as an example on their website now. So we were part of HASP for the second year with a robot arm. And Dan can talk to you a little bit more about our arm, Lil Vince.
Awesome. Dan, you've been volunteered. Go for it. Tell us more.
All right. So for our second year that we flew on HASP, we built a robotic arm. It was 4 degrees of freedom, and it was supposed to simulate satellite servicing. Well, not simulate. It was supposed to mimic a lot of what that does. So what we did was on top of the arm that we basically built from scratch, we also built a small device called a busy box. And on the busy box, it had a bunch of switches, knobs, and a button. And basically, the idea was that we would put these little things on this box that were called April tags, and then we would have a camera on the end of the arm, and the arm would then use what it saw from the camera and those April tags to flip switches, turn knobs, and press buttons. And this was supposed to sort of be like an entry-level attempt at doing sort of satellite servicing kinematic tasks.
Awesome. So going back a second, and this is for both Dan and Jimmy, how did you get involved in all of this in the first place? What got you connected with it?
Well, Jimmy might be a better place to start for this because they just sucked me in, basically.
Jimmy, how about you?
Yeah, I think, if I recall correctly, Julie, we had talked about some random comic you had on your door that was nerdy and cool about geology, and then based off of that and some very some light work I'd done with the NASA Community College Aerospace Scholars, which is a small trip you get to take to Stennis Space Center in Mississippi. We do a sort of a miniature version of the Swarmathon in a couple of days there. Julie put my name forward as someone who might be interested in running this 2-meter weather balloon experiment, and we had very good success with that, and our team enjoyed working together so much that even as our first sort of graduating class of the unacceptable risks left Durham Tech and went to other universities around North Carolina, we kept working together. We funded our own launch after the first 2-meter weather balloon launch. We bought materials and built our own for a second one just for fun in the summer, and then from there, you know, scaled up to other opportunities like HASP, which is a much bigger deal. But we were trying to run this with 4 different schools across Central North Carolina, which is a non-zero, non-trivial task logistically and coordination-wise. So, but I'm deeply grateful to Julie for sort of starting us all off.
Speaking with Dan Corus, Jimmy Acevedo, and Julie Hoover here in the studio talking about Durham Tech's relationship with NASA, which has taken on a variety of different forms. And for Dan and Jimmy, you've done so much with that relationship. What have been the highlights of your experience, or what have been your biggest accomplishments, you think?
Well, I think for me personally, Julie touched on, we've had really great accomplishments in two forms. I mean, I think the fact that we just do any of this at all just for fun and not for like school credit is an accomplishment in and of itself. But Julie mentioned that our application for HASP is an example on the website, so that was a big win for us. But then for me personally, my team won the NASA Swarmathon competition this year, and that was a very rewarding experience for me.
We won everything this year. We won the NASA Swarmathon, we won Best Overall for HAB, and we got a large payload seat on HASP, so we won everything.
So Julie, all of these are educational experiences, but this is beneficial for NASA as well. What do they use this research for?
They use our research a little bit, but the main thing that it helps NASA is to help them create a workforce. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they keep investing in these educational opportunities, because they are getting students that are going to be coming out of school that are trained in really hands-on, high-tech things that most students aren't. And our students come at them with a little extra bit of confidence because they've had these experiences and can really hit the ground running when they get hired places.
Speaking again with Julie Hoover, Dan Corus, Jimmy Acevedo. Dan, Jimmy, you've gone on from Durham Tech now, both of you. How has this experience with NASA impacted you since?
So this has been completely transformative for me. As a non-traditional student, I've meandered in and out of several schools before kind of finally buckling down and getting back to it. Projects like this sort of not only showed me the value of the academics I was going through, but also allowed me to find aptitudes and confidences about myself that I had no idea of. More practically speaking, these string of connections, one thing leading to another leading to another, has gotten me hired, and that's why I'm working at Goddard today. And I'm so fantastically grateful for these opportunities and the sets from North Carolina Space Grant, and caring, involved, engaged mentors who are willing to sacrifice tens of hours a week of their personal time and money to make opportunities like this for students.
Dan, how about you?
It's a lot of what Jimmy said. Really, it's confidence and just the experience of it all. Just knowing that I've been in things, and like I'm doing projects here that, because I've transferred to Colorado University now, and I'm doing things here with students, and it's their first time doing these things. And for me, it's just very normal to do projects. Like right now I'm working on a project that's called SpaceX Hyperloop Project. And a lot of the people that I work with, you know, this is sort of new to them, but for me, it's almost like it's old hat. And I don't say that to brag. It's just, you know, I know what it, like a PDR is, and I know how to make one. And just, I know what the design process is like. And so that just gives me a lot of confidence.
And then finally, Julie, what's next for Durham Tech in the relationship with NASA? What's on tap for the coming year?
So we've started Swarmathon again. They've changed the competition a little bit, which is going to be a challenge for us, especially because the other teams are coming for us.
I was going to say, you want everything. Now they have to Durham Tech proof the competition.
Right. Yeah. We've definitely had some new rules created for us in many realms throughout our work with these projects. The high altitude ballooning team is starting another project where we're going to be flying a payload of what they call Pong Sats. They're little ping pong balls filled with experiments, and so we're going to be doing some outreach with local schools to hopefully get and scout troops and things like that, hopefully getting them to invent some Pong Sats that we can fly on our balloon. And even though we said we weren't going to do it again, we are applying for HASP. There were some failures on our mission last year that nobody noticed but us that we want to correct. So we're going to be hopefully flying a bank of cameras, which isn't as fantastic. It's not as good to write home about as a robot arm, but it's definitely going to be something that's going to make our future robotic arm missions more solid.
And check out durhamtech.edu for more information on this program and the many others they've got going. And head to our website, chapelboro.com, and check out the archive of the Do Great Things initiative with Durham Tech. Julie Hoover, Dan Corris, Jimmy Acevedo, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Have a great one.